He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the coming of the Lord drawing near. Dark times are going to be around. The world is going to be in a dark place when Christ returns like a thief in the night. So right before his return, more than ever, we need to be meeting together, encouraging one another. Or I like to say, one anothering one another.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled Fellowship. This is chapter 3 on the series called Survival Gear. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Many times through the years, I've run across professing Christians who no longer go to church, claiming that they're doing just fine in their walk with God. Their attitude is that they can make it alone as long as they read their Bibles and pray. Well, you know, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, we're commanded in the book of Hebrews, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. Today, we're going to look at the incredible benefits fellowship brings to the believer. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message on fellowship from our series, Your Spiritual Survival Gear. Researchers have found a surprising correlation between longevity and religious faith. According to an analysis by Secular, now this is not a religious research team. This was a secular team. Ohio State psychology researchers discovered that churchgoers appear to live an average of 5.64 years longer than atheists. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They found that churchgoers often volunteer. Here's part of their reason. Churchgoers often volunteer and engage in social activities throughout their lives, which is tied to a longer lifespan. And my little mother, who is now 94 years old, is proof of this. Her schedule is busier than mine at 94. She's busy all the time. She fellowships with people. She plays bridge all the time. She goes to church. She's totally lucid, totally healthy, 94. She's the most social, she's a social butterfly. And part of the reason that she's lived so long, I'm convinced, is she's always happy, always cheery. I've never had my mother say to me, boy, I'm really blue today, Jeffrey. She's the only one that calls me Jeffrey. But I'm really blue today, Jeffrey. No, my mother never says that. You call my mother and it's woohoo. I'm enjoying life. I'm having so much fun. I'm going to go this and I'm going to go that. On her birthday, she gets more cards than I get in 5 years. It's true. But see, this doesn't surprise me, what they have discovered about the church, because of what the church provides to believers. And that is a healthy church. Our opening verse gives one of them, encourage one another. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Encouragement, as opposed to discouragement, is hugely important to mental, physical, and spiritual health. No doubt about it. Being encouraged instead of discouraged. The Bible says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good encouraging word makes it glad. A good encouraging word makes it glad. You know what we're supposed to do when we come to church? We're supposed to encourage one another. We're not supposed to gossip. We're not supposed to talk about other people. But we're supposed to find somebody who looks like they need some encouragement and walk right up to him and say, you know what? God is with you. I'm praying for you. I believe good things are coming your way. Let me encourage you in the Lord. It may look dark right now, but the sun is going to shine in the morning. You hang on to God. Don't give up. And you encourage one another. And when you do that, you lift their spirits. And that's one of the purposes for local church. You can't do that with a TV screen. Amen. The preacher on the other side of that TV screen can't talk individually to you, and you can't talk individually to them. They can't anoint you with oil and lay hands on you. They can't listen to your prayer requests. But when you come in person to a living, healthy church, they can encourage you individually. They can know your stuff and pray for you. They can lay hands on you. They can anoint you with oil. They can take you to lunch. It's a whole different thing. In a healthy, living church, the Word of God is taught and preached like I'm preaching it right now. And you know what? What I'm doing right now, preaching the Word of God, is life-giving. I'm going to prove it to you. It's life-giving. You're receiving life right now because I'm not ministering to you the flesh. I'm ministering to you the Spirit. Amen? Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Then look at what he said. The words that I speak to you are spirit. And say the next part with me, good and loud, and they are life. So hearing the Word of God brings life. See, I'm lifing you right now. I'm lifing you. I'm giving you the life of the Word of God. See, when you quote the Word of God, it brings life. When you quote the words of Jesus, it brings life. The words I speak to you are spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and they are life. They go down into your innermost, and they pick you up where no human being can pick you up. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. A healthy church provides all kinds of healthy life extenders. That's why I'm not surprised that 5.5 years longer are enjoyed by people who are very plugged in to local church because of what it ministers: encouragement, prayer, fellowship, a sense of purpose, peace, ministry opportunities, social activities, just to name a few. No wonder David wrote, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. See, some people are sad when you say to them, let's go to the house of the Lord. But David understood the power of the house of the Lord. So David said, I'm not sad when they said it. I'm glad when they said it. I'm glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. On Sunday mornings, we ought to get up and say, I'm glad that today we get to go to the house of the Lord. Amen. So if for no other reason, get to church if you want to live longer. That's free. Now, a second purpose of the church is protection. When wolves are on the hunt for prey, they'll first find a herd of, say, deer, and they're skilled at this. They move in a pack, as you know, a wolf pack, and they're skilled at finding a herd, but they're more skilled in this respect. They will look for a weak deer that's dropping back from the herd because for whatever reason, hadn't eaten enough or whatever, not feeling well, whatever reason, it drops back and it begins to lag behind the herd. Now listen carefully to me. The wolves move in and they begin to nip at his legs. Finally, out of blood loss, the deer drops and the rest is history. It all began with him drifting from the herd. This is exactly how Satan operates. I've seen it. I've pastored 35 years. I'm going to tell you, I've seen this happen over and over again. The Bible says the devil is like a lion prowling around, predatory-like, just like the wolf, and seeking whom he may devour. Now, who's the whom? Seeking whom he may devour. Who's the whom? The whom he's looking for is the weak Christian that drifts from the herd, drifts from the flock. He soon moves in, and he begins to nip at you, at the isolated Christian, with temptation, discouragement, depression, various things that weaken you, that bloodlet you, and he waits until you're so weak that he can move in for the kill, and you really do something damaging to yourself. Now, with that picture in mind, listen to this. When Paul the Apostle was leaving the Ephesian church for the last time, he'd been with them for 3 years, and he warned them. He said, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So, see, Paul knew There are wolves out there. Here's a few: false teachers. Here's another one: ungodly influences, ungodly relationships that you hook up with once you leave church. Because once you leave church, you're going to meet people who are also not in church. And once you start running with people who are not in church, they're going to influence you per the word of God, which says, watch out. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But see, if you leave the church and you leave your relationships in the church, and I've seen people do this, they just sever themselves from the church and from the relationships. Well, then all that's left for you is false teachers, ungodly influences, ungodly relationships, destructive temptations, and they all begin to nip at your legs. Until finally, down you go. And the Ephesian church, under Paul's skilled leadership, had been protected from the wolves. They were in a healthy church. Paul said, man, I'm leaving, and I know that when I leave, wolves are going to try to get in, because they've been trying to get in the whole time, but they couldn't get into a healthy church. Like I said, I've been a pastor for 35 years now, and I can tell you, I have never seen a Christian who quits attending church do as well spiritually as those who stay plugged in. Never, never. Now, they'll tell you, oh, I'm doing great. Oh, yeah, I sit in my living room and I open my Bible. I have a great time with God. But again, you can't call God's word a liar. There's a reason. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the coming of the Lord drawing near. You need to be encouraging one another, because those are going to be dark times according to the word of God. Dark times are going to be around. The world is going to be in a dark place when Christ returns like a thief in the night. So right before his return, more than ever, we need to be meeting together, encouraging one another. Or I like to say, one anothering one another. Amen? God gave the church for a purpose, for encouragement, to provide healthy, godly relationships, and to be a body of believers that are impacting society for Christ. We have a mutual vision. We have a mutual goal. We're pushing the same plow. We've got the same vision, same aim, same target. We know why we're here. We're not beating the air. We're not praying about, Lord, why are we here? Why do we have this building? We know why. We're going to take the word of God to the entire world. We're going to build up an army of believers here. Last week, we had over 30 people come forward to be intercessors in this church. We're going to have prayer going up. We're going to be bombarding heaven. We're in a good fight, the fight of faith. We're in this thing together. We're going to do it together. We're going to fight the devil together. We're going to grow in unity together. And when Jesus comes, we're going home together. Amen. So everybody say with me, family. We're a family of believers. God has put you here for a reason. He has planted you in this house for a purpose. Now let me give you, say protection. Let's try this. I'm here for long life, longer life, and protection. Protection. Now there's one other purpose, and there's many. I just kind of picked the ones that have stood out to me the most lately. But the third one is for sharpening. Sharpening. Oh, this is so important. See, when you say you're spiritually sharp, that means you are in tune with Christ. Your ear can hear him. You have ears to hear. You are discerning. You can tell the difference between evil and good, right and wrong, light and dark. You're not putting good for evil or evil for good. That's what a fallen, reprobate culture does. You put evil for good and good for evil, light for dark, dark for light, sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Isaiah said, woe to those people. But the Christian who is sharp has his spiritual discernment keen. A local church that provides healthy teaching and worship and fellowship is designed by God to sharpen your spiritual walk, which is essential to your survival. Survival gear. That's what this series is about, survival gear. Well, we know we got to have daily fellowship with God in prayer. We've got to be daily in the Word. And now we're seeing that we've got to be regularly in the church gatherings. The Bible says, Just like iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen each other. They sharpen each other. When I get around godly people who are walking with God, I invariably am sharpened. I will leave that meeting or that time with them sharpened. They say something I didn't know. I say something they didn't know. They say something that flows out of a godly conviction that is in their heart. And I hear it and I go, that's what I need to do. And it sharpens me. See, I don't run with VDPs. You know what that is? Very draining people. I know a few, but I don't run with them. No, my closest inner circle is people who are going to make me sharp. I want to be around people who are in step with Christ, who are walking with God, who care about what He thinks, who are seeking Him in their own private life. And I can tell and I know it because every time I'm with them, they sharpen me. Amen? Now, I talk to a lot of people. I talk to lost people. More and more, that's something else to experience because of what they're believing now and embracing now. But I talk to lost people because I want to know what they're thinking. And I want them to know that Jesus loves them. So I don't shun lost people, but they're not in my tight inner circle. No, I run with people that are going to sharpen Jeff Wickwire. Sharpen me. I want to hear godly convictions and godly beliefs, and I want to hear about their godly walk. Is anybody hearing me today? I want to be influenced by them. See, you alone choose who or what influences you, who you run with, who you're running with. See, if you want to sharpen two iron blades for better cutting and slicing, you can do it by just rubbing those two iron blades together, and that's the whole idea of local church. When we come together, listen, too often the only knives being sharpened in church are the ones for potluck dinners. We need to be sharpening one another. Christians are real good at eating. I mean, go to the nearest restaurant after church. They love churches because we love that buffet line. See, we have interpreted the verse where Paul said, I buffet my body to mean I buffet my body. But that's not what it means. We're supposed to come together and sharpen one another. Blade against blade, walk against walk, beliefs against beliefs. And we do it with the Word of God. We do it with fellowship. We do it with prayer. And we do it with encouragement. Watch this. If a knife is blunt, it's still a knife, but it's less effective. It takes twice the time to do half the job when it's dull. But when it's sharp, it gets the job done in twice the time with half the effort when it's sharp. And when you think about it, a dull knife doesn't shine as greatly or nicely as a sharp knife because that dull knife likely has a little bit of rust, a little bit of dust. And when that's removed and it's sharpened, it shines better. See, we all shine better when we're sharp, walking with God, in tune with Him, praying, reading the Bible, attending church. We're sharp. We walk into a room and a light comes with us. Amen? Because we're shining. Fact is, there's levels of sharpness that you and I cannot achieve alone. In the Garden of Eden, God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Now, if that was true before the fall, what about now after the fall? It wasn't good the man be alone before he was even a fallen creature. But now that we're fallen, we have a fallen nature, and we struggle with the flesh and with the devil and with the world, then so much more after the fall, we need one another. We need more than ever to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ for regular fellowship and prayer, for spiritual sharpening. See, I'm sharpening you right now. You ought to leave here today sharper than when you walked in. That's my goal. The early church, which is the model for all time, it's the church's model for all time, that early church, we see it in the book of Acts and in the epistles. God gave it to us so we would know what local church is supposed to look like. And it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They were devoted. They were committed to regular church attendance. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship. Jesus himself placed a premium on the gathering of the saints. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So he manifests his presence in church in unique ways that he doesn't do anywhere else. It was in the gathering of the saints when I was just a teenager, a late teenager. I was worshiping God with the saints. I was coming into his presence. I was falling in love with Jesus Christ. It was in the gathering of the saints that the call to preach came on me. I discovered my gift in the gathering of the saints. I began to minister in the gathering of the saints. It was in a local church setting that Jeff Wickwire's ministry was birthed and launched. It would never have happened alone. He also promised greater power in prayer, and I'm going to close with this. Greater power in prayer when we're gathered together. He said, I also tell you this, that if two of you gather together, agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask for, my Father in heaven will do it for you. So the eyes of the Lord are on the gathering together of believers. And when we come together and we agree in prayer for something, there is a harmony there. There is something about that that God hears it and God says, you got it. So to spiritually survive and thrive, we need the tools that God has placed in our survival gear. What have we learned so far? Say it with me. Daily time in the Word. Daily time in prayer. And faithful attendance in the gathering of the saints. And when we do that, we're going to be sharp. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be victorious. We're going to survive. And we're going to thrive in a dark and a wicked world.
Well, you know, Pastor Jeff, it's really easy to miss a Sunday or two, and you find yourself getting out of the habit of going to church altogether. Now, what would you say to those who find themselves maybe a little too busy, that big whirl of just doing life, and they find it tough to set aside time on Sunday morning to get up, get dressed, you know, make breakfast, dress the kids, and get to service?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. And first, I think it helps to take the whole church attendance issue out of something we have to do or should do, like some kind of religious duty, and remember the why of church attendance. Why does God tell us not to forsake it? Well, as we shared in the message, it's for the good of our spiritual walk. We need one another. We need to be in personal contact with believers. After a long week of dealing with people at work and so on that may not walk with God at all, and we feel, bluntly, very drained. It's refreshing and strengthening to get around people who also love Jesus and can encourage us. And then second, making it to church is one way we give to God part of the time that he has given to us. It's saying to God, you know, my salvation, Lord, and my spiritual growth are a priority to me. It's important enough that I'm willing to take the time and trouble to gather with like-minded believers, worship you with them, and listen to a word that'll sharpen my spiritual walk.
That's good, Pastor. And what would you say to someone that's been out of fellowship for a while and they say to themselves, what's the use? I've already been out for so long, I can't imagine getting back into church where I don't know anybody and I'm having a tough time just fitting in.
Well, I would say it's never too late to do the right thing. I've learned in my own walk that when I obey God, he always makes a way. He blesses my decision with mercy and favor. And I would encourage them to make the decision to attend a good church and just see what doors God opens. He always blesses obedience.
Well, thanks, Jeff, as always, for that wise and sage advice. And join us next time for another edition of Life Talk. I'm Dave Erickson. You have a blessed day.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. Coming up on Life Talk.
Listen to the Apostle John. This is why it's so important that we keep a clear conscience, because when my conscience is clear, I can hear God, I can fellowship with God, I can walk with God. He speaks to me through His Word. I know that He's with me, and you know what? When my conscience is clear, I know He's got my back.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling A Clear Conscience, in this series entitled Survival Gear. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.